You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
So there you are. You're out there and you're a Zoomer. Maybe you're a Zoomer getting into the higher Zoomer years in your 60s and your 70s. Dare I say 80s? I don't know. We'll find out about that in a minute. And you're thinking of a couple of things. A new career or staying in the workforce, coming up with some new challenge for a couple of reasons. Maybe you need the money because of what happens and is continuing to happen on the stock market. Or you just don't want to be uninvolved. You don't want to unplug yourself from society. And I think a lot of Zoomers feel that way today. We have Lisa Taylor in the studio with me today. Lisa, very nice to have you right here. She's the president of the Challenge Factory. And you were telling me just a few moments ago that 60% of your clients are above the age of
55.
Of 55.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a relatively recent development?
So it is. So certainly over the last 18 months, we've seen a huge increase
in
the number of
18 months.
Boomers and Zoomers that are interested in not just finding something to do for the next couple of years, but realizing that it's a third to a quarter of their lifespan that they have left to go, and they'd love to do something that really is going to help them leave a legacy.
I mean, how many days a week can you really go golfing, right?
It's funny, you know, the clients that come to us, they say a couple of things. They've golfed, they've eaten in great restaurants, they may have traveled, and they've redecorated their house 100 times, and they just need to find something to do.
Well, or maybe they're in a are some of them in a job that they're hanging on to, and they want advice on how to keep it as well? Is that part of it?
Of course. It's a whole spectrum. Some are working and want to hold their job. Some have found themselves unemployed and want to return to the workforce and are struggling. And others have left the workforce voluntarily only to realize retirement is not necessarily what they thought it was going to be. And they want to feel like they're making a deeper contribution.
Well, and as I said a couple of minutes ago, there are really two reasons I'm thinking, right? There's the economical reason. People have this fear that they will outlive their money. And secondly, they don't want to be on the outside. They want to be on the inside. They want to stay involved in something.
That's right. One of the things that we always try to balance is lots of people have a financial plan and a financial portfolio plan, but few people have developed a career or an activity portfolio plan. And what's the balance of activity that's going to carry you through so that you have stability in what you do with your time and that feeds some of your financial concerns, but also where are you going to get your excitement from? What are the entrepreneurial or riskier ventures that you're going to do, and how does time for hobbies and leisure fit into that as well?
Well, because in this society, we really, in many cases, maybe to our detriment from time to time, we define ourselves by what we do. And then suddenly, if we're retired, how do we define ourselves?
That's a huge issue, actually. I just recently published an article in the Toronto Star exactly on that, talking about if you introduce yourself every day as an accountant or a teacher or a radio broadcaster or a journalist, if you do that over a lifetime, what happens when that's no longer true anymore? How many hours have you spent reinforcing an identity based on a job as opposed to what you actually love to do and the talents you can bring? Mm-hmm. It's a very tricky transition that people go through, and that's why our program focuses on getting people out and experiencing new things, not just relying on what you know, because left to our own devices, teachers will look for part-time tutoring and accountants will look for part-time bookkeeping when there are a whole world of possibilities.
Well, it's what they know, and it's safer, they think, I suspect, do that, right?
That's right. And it's what their network expects of them. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part, too.
But what employer is going to want to take chances on a Zoomer trying to redefine herself at age 72?
You know, it's such a the age I'm going to, you know, the specific age, I think, is an interesting question, and where we peg what particular age people are
because
at.
Because it matters a bit, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, okay.
But I think from an employer's perspective, there's such a convergence right now of issues where there's Zoomers who want to continue working and contributing, albeit maybe in a different way than they have in the past. And at the same time, demographics are showing that the generation that comes up behind the Zoomers, Generation X, is not as large. And there are skills and jobs and tasks that are going undone because there isn't a workforce there to fill the gap. And so what is incumbent upon employers is to think really creatively about our workforce in ways that we haven't before, and not rule people out because they're approaching 60 or 65, but recognize there's a talent pool here that's a competitive advantage if you can work with them creatively.
For example, how would that work out in a practical sense? What are we driving at here? What are you driving at?
If someone's been working, let's say, in the marketing department of an organization for the last 30 years, and maybe they don't want to continue working, you know, 12 months a year full time. Maybe there's something else that really is a great combination of the talents and the skills that they've built up and what they love to do that lets them make an impact that will also allow them to meet new needs where they want to spend some time away from the office. They want to, you know, have some time in Florida or travel. That employer may have initiatives and programs, mentorship programs, seasonal programs, covering for people that are going on leaves and other pieces. There may be creative ways to structure employment that it doesn't have to be exactly what that employee has been doing for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And it may be in a different department, but that employee can continue to contribute in a way that meets both the employer's needs as well as the employee's needs.
And for the boss, then, the advantage is that person's been around for long years, perhaps in the same corporation, knows a bit about the history of the corporation, the culture of the corporation, may have picked up a little wisdom over the years and a whole bunch of experience, and would want to use that to the boss's advantage.
Succession planning and knowledge retention, corporate history, these are huge topics that companies are talking about right now and trying to figure out how to solve. And creative employment structures are a phenomenal way to do it. And one of the, we often speak about two truths and a lie about the aging workforce. The lie is that people believe that if you present Zoomers with alternate arrangements, lower hours, flexible arrangements, doing something differently, that they'll reject it out of hand. And our experience is exactly the opposite. Our clients welcome a change, and even if it means a job that doesn't have the same prestige or the same title as it used to, they just want to deploy what they know and be able to be creative and make an impact in a way that's respected and valued, but it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly what they've been doing before.
So that reticence is a disadvantage to everybody, really, isn't it? To the Zoomers who might be offered that job in order to stay on with the company, and a disadvantage for the company because they're not utilizing a resource.
Well, and what ends up happening is the Zoomers end up holding on to their jobs, and the employers end up keeping them in the same positions, and nobody's entirely happy, and nobody moves up through the organization. Mm-hmm. So there's an enormous cascading effect on the workforce if we can't become more creative at all ages with the way that we structure employment.
So are the companies and businesses, both big and small, are they coming to realize the value of the Zoomer worker, do you think?
I think demographics are helping with that a great deal.
what choice do we have?
I would say in Canada, we are not on the leading edge of seeing this wave, this tsunami, this gray tsunami, as it's been called in other jurisdictions.
Please don't call it a tsunami. It sounds like a disaster. And the fact that Zoomers are getting older is no disaster.
Correct.
All right.
You are absolutely correct.
What countries are they doing? Are they wiser about this in Canada?
You know, the United States has some very interesting programs and organizations that have cropped up. Civic Ventures is one of the research houses there that has spawned an entire encore movement. There's also some creative work that's being done in Australia and the UK as well within specific sectors. So other countries have started to make some movement. In Canada, there's been a lot of discussion, and certainly within the research, the academic, and the government sector, there's discussion on these topics. It's now time for the corporate sector to realize that they have a role in this too. It's not just theory.
It'll happen then. We
Absolutely.
Can be hopeful and say. Now, let's talk for a moment as well about the Zoomer who isn't continuing in a company, but who might come to you and say, I'm looking for a new gig. I'm looking for a new career.
Right.
What happens then?
Well, there's a really interesting kind of pattern that's taking place. And in part, some are looking to find employment, maybe in a different field.
Mm-hmm.
But a large number are actually looking to become self-employed or to start businesses. I mean, the fastest growing population of entrepreneurs in Canada right now is women 55 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they come, we make no initial assumptions about what it is that they'd like to do or what they're going to be doing next.
Mm-hmm.
And we absolutely do not start with people's resumes. Instead, we take people through a process where they're able to really think about what do they love, their passion, what are their talents, and we differentiate that from skills. What do they need? And really, what do they need? How many days a week? How much money? Let's get right down to brass tacks.
Mm-hmm.
What type of work environment? Do you have to be the boss because you've been the boss for a long time? Or are you looking to join a team? A big company, a small company? Could you work from home? All of those things factor in. And the fourth component that we look at is what impact is it that you're looking to make? And the impact side has both a heart component, but also a head component that says if you're making an impact, someone's recognizing that and it means what you're doing is valued in the marketplace. We're not interested necessarily in helping people find hobbies, which is what happens when you don't have a market impact on what you're doing.
They had a hobby before they came to you. They want something
they
a little
want
more
it to be a career.
Right?
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
The truly unique part of our process is we have experts in over 160 occupations. And we allow you to go out and spend a one-day test drive. So if you've been an accountant for 30 years, and now you're thinking you might want to go and do something different, and everyone around you is saying, but Joe, you're an accountant. Why would you go and do that?
Why would you do that? Right.
Going and spending a single day and realizing you don't burst into flames, nobody laughed at you, and you actually quite enjoyed yourself really helps you move forward into a new path.
How far away from your base profession can you get?
We've had, you know, IT sales executives test drive becoming professional woodworkers. We have physicians test driving research positions. So that may or may not be as diverse. We have lawyers who test drive going into public relations or writing. Every day, there's different people around Toronto and across the country that are test driving new careers as part of the process, where that one day tests hypotheses and assumptions that you're making so that you don't say, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. Maybe you could.
But, I mean, is there more resistance on the part of the people who are coming to you saying, oh, no, I couldn't do that? Or is it that you're facing more resistance from a potential employer who would say, oh, no, I can't do that?
It's
you know
both.
What I mean? I guess
I do.
Yeah.
It's both. I mean, both the individuals have a kind of idea of who they are and what the next step would be. And employers, too, pigeonhole employees, you know, Sam is a fantastic employee and
Sam's
she's always been great.
Why can we put him in woodworking for crying out loud?
And that employer may not have a position in woodworking. That would require transitioning into a different organization, obviously.
But these things are not impossible, is what you're saying.
They aren't. And in fact, they're the pattern of careers that we're seeing right from our youngest generations entering the workforce that is just the way that work evolves now as we take ownership of our own careers.
I'm talking to Lisa Taylor. She's the president of Challenge Factory. And you can hear what we're talking about. New careers for Zoomers, among other things, or continuing jobs for Zoomers. Comments or questions, give us a call at 416-360-0740 or 866-744-740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Lisa Taylor is here. She's the president of Challenge Factory. A place where if you're, among other things, I mean, you don't just deal with people over the age of 55. You deal with all age groups,
we
right?
We do.
You're trying to put the right people in the right job. Is that kind of it? And get for the employer the right person for their company.
We work more with the individuals.
Do you?
Within companies, we'll come in and work within a workforce inside of a company itself. Mm-hmm. But what we're looking for is to help people and companies make sure that the talent is working in the areas that is the best combination of where they have passion and where they can bring the right skills to the table.
Now, you talk about 60% of your clients being 55 and up. How up do they go?
It's always a delicate question. I believe our oldest client at the moment is 74.
74?
And looking to reinvent and redirect.
You don't mind me saying that doesn't sound very old.
It shouldn't.
All right.
No, and it shouldn't. I mean, really, when you take a look at it with life expectancy into the 80s, we always say, you know, there's really no end to this. And that's why, you know, one of the words that we react to is the word retirement. And we say, you know, it shouldn't be pegged at a certain point in time or an age. That's a period of time when you need to withdraw or conclude the dictionary definition of the word itself, because your body and spirit needs that time to withdraw and conclude. And until that time, you should be an active and productive member of society to the best of your abilities and as much as you would like.
What about the argument often quoted, mistaken, I believe, that Zoomers who stay in the workforce either at a company they've been with for a few years or who manage to work at other places, whatever, that somehow being in the workplace, they're depriving younger workers, maybe university grads just out and can't find a job, depriving them of work.
So it's such an interesting dynamic, and there's so many things that are happening all at the same time. But one of the things that needs to be acknowledged is people are going to work later in life than they did, you know, 100 years ago or 50 years ago or even 10 years ago. And the really amazing part of that is if you look at the top growing jobs, the fastest growing jobs in Canada, there's a top 10 list that comes out every year.
Yeah.
Six or seven of those jobs didn't exist 10 years ago. So it's not that there aren't new jobs being created, new industries being created, new thoughts that are needed, new areas that need both young expertise and wisdom, as you mentioned in the earlier segment. What employers need to do is get creative in how they deploy talent. And if we're going to think about our careers differently as we age, we need our employers to think about talent differently as well, and to realize there's creative ways to move people through an organization, that there is a place after vice president that you can move into that contributes to lend the corporate history and wisdom to do tasks and work that is valuable to the organization as it evolves and grows into new markets and develops new products and mentors new employees so that there is upward mobility through the organization.
Well, and that also gives, from the Zoomer's point of view, that also gives that person who's been retasked into some of this some new challenges and new things to think about as well. It isn't just looking back at years of experience and calling upon that. It's also tailor-making your job function to new challenges as well.
Well, and if there's new jobs being created all the time, why can't Zoomers move into some of those new areas and positions?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the fastest growing usage of the internet is among women who are 45 plus. So it's not true that everything that's new is for the young. Everything that's true is for the entire workforce, and we need to bring the right talent to the right positions in order to be able to leverage that.
You said something interesting a few minutes ago. You said that the younger workers are getting into the workplace at an older, they're older than they used to be a number of years ago. Is that simply because they can't find the work, or are there other reasons?
There's a number of reasons. Yeah. I mean, it is certainly difficult right now in terms of younger people getting into the workforce and getting into the positions that they're looking for. It's also taking this youngest generation longer to launch. They're staying in school longer, and it's for all kinds of reasons. For some, it's economics.
They're staying at home longer
as well. And for some, it's because they're being encouraged just to make sure that they're really sure about what they want to do and take all of the opportunity to explore.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting parallel between that generation and the Zoomers. If you think that you expect your 20-something kids to spend, let's say, even 15 years in their first career, and you're encouraging them to study and travel and try new things and think broadly and not be pigeonholed, if you're sitting yourself at age 55 and life expectancy is almost up to 85 at this point
That's
in time,
right.
your career for your future is just as long as that young person's, that you're encouraging them to think broadly. So why shouldn't we think broadly, too, as we enter our 50s about what we want to do next?
Ironically, you can still have those grown kids living at home while you as a Zoomer are out looking for new challenges.
It's true. And there's lots of examples of, you know, parents and kids that are graduating at the same time from programs. I cut a clip from an American college, American university on the weekend where they had a 376-year-old graduates standing at the graduation ceremony together from an engineering program. So they were becoming engineers at the age of 76.
You also talked about Zoomers getting involved in going into business for themselves. Now, that's a whole different area of endeavor. Talk a bit about that. How well do Zoomers do as entrepreneurs?
You know, the research is just being gathered, but certainly the numbers are increasing. So at the moment, 44.1% of working men and 28.6% of working women who are over the age of 65 would consider themselves to be self-employed. And so that really goes to see that there's an increase, not just in traditional employment. The numbers of people that are traditionally employed and working for companies is also on the rise, of course, as the population increases, but the self-employment numbers are rising faster. And I think it's an interesting question that's similar to what you just posed with the younger generation. Is that because there's ageism and it's difficult to continue to find employment and so people are moving to the self-employment route? Or is it because there is this burning desire to make an impact and to be a part of something that will leave a legacy through self-employment or through entrepreneurship?
More the former than the latter, don't you think?
I think that there's a balance, but I think there's truth in both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur is pretty tough. I mean, the failure rate on some of those being in business for yourself is quite high. And as employment experts I have talked to have said, when we examine and try to parse unemployment figures, we look at the self-employed category a bit skeptically, because you could be self-employed and making $5 a week doing something. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Which is not exactly constructive.
That's right.
Yeah.
Although, you know, it is kind of, as you're taking a look at the training boards and the analysis that they're doing in Stats Canada, they're watching that as well and trying to figure out what exactly is the work, how many hours.
Yeah.
And there is, you know, certainly an enormous push for consultancies, lending your expertise as a consultant or as a trainer or as a mentor in some kind of flexible or part-time capacity, which would contribute to those self-employment.
So somebody could come to you and say, okay, I want to consult in this A, B, C, and D, these areas. So you'd offer them advice on how, I mean, if you're only hanging out a shingle and all you need is an email address and an email address and a phone these days.
That's right.
To get involved, right?
Well, I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, because besides the email address and the phone and the website that you would need to appear like you're in business or that you've hung out your shingle, you then need the customers to come call.
Well, no, of course. That's why we come to you.
So,
how do we find the customers?
So the first question there is to really make sure that that area that you're moving into isn't just, as we were saying earlier, defaulting to what you know, but really taking a look, like we would say to our 20-something kids, and say, really, what would you want to put your time and energy into?
Yeah,
what work
I,
would you want to
but,
do?
But if I'm an accountant and I come in and I say, I really want to get into tropical fish raising, you know, I'm not going to have any credibility with anybody who might want to come to me.
And, it's true.
Yeah.
And we would say, as we look through it, you know, tropical fish raising probably won't meet your practical needs. So it would filter itself out through our process. But what we would also ask is, what else have you been doing besides accounting?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing how many boards or volunteer committees or sports organizations or things people have been doing in their free time that we could say, well, you know what? What if you could lend your financial expertise and your accounting acumen, but focus it in an area that you've never thought of before? Maybe you can do something that relates to something that Tennis Canada is doing.
Yeah.
And marry up areas that you're passionate about with skills and talents that you have. And that's really the work that we do with clients, so that they don't think it's either accounting or tropical fish raising. You see the spectrum of possibilities that are in the middle, and then you go test drive it to see in your gut, could I really do this?
I guess the bottom line here is Zoomers would get some good advice from you and your people, is the fact that you really got to maintain a positive attitude about all of this too, right?
We think this is a positive story. We think that the media is full of bad news stories from all angles.
Whole list of them right here.
That's right. And so we really work with our clients to let them see that this is a good news story for them, for their careers, for their families, and for their lifestyle.
Lisa, thank you very much for coming in and talking about this. Very exciting and amazing numbers. 60% of your clients are 55 and up.
They are.
All right. Lisa Taylor is the president of The Challenge Factory. Challenge Factory. Do you have a website?
We do. It's challengefactory.ca.
Who knew? Thank you very much, Lisa, for coming in and talking about this.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.